Welcome to the Made Up Savannah podcast. I'm your host, Dee Daniels. Made Up Savannah is a creative production of Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, serving Savannah since 1978. And the Made Up Savannah podcast is brought to you by Savoy Society, colleagues and lovers, and the Savannah Cabaret. You know, some people have a dream home. Some people have 10 dreams about buying property in 10 different places. At Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, we always want you to live who you are, wherever and whatever that dream looks like. You hear businesses talking sometimes about how long they have served a city, but do you ever stop and wonder if they mean that's how long they've been in business there? Or do they really mean that's how long they've served that community? Corcoran Austin Hill Realty truly serves Savannah. Yes, I mean the region, but I really mean the people, the history, the business developers, the nonprofits, all communities, all backgrounds, the buyers, the sellers, the investors, the mom and pop shop owners, the first time home seekers, the young, the matured, and we've been doing it serving you since 1978. Corcoran Austin Hill Realty sits beautifully at the corner of Liberty and Bull Streets in historic Savannah, home of the Made of Savannah podcast studios and home to a huge group of people ready to serve you. 251 Bull Street, Savannah. Stop in, ask questions, see local artists at Location Gallery, and check out available listings at CorcoranAHR.com. Welcome to the Made Up Savannah podcast. I'm your host, Dee Daniels. What a significant treat we have for the listeners today as we are officially behind the gate at what I would call a true legacy in Savannah that sits on the iconic corner of Liberty and Abercorn Streets next to the Cathedral Basilica of St. John the Baptist. And we're so grateful to be on location at St. Vincent's Academy. And joining me on this episode, Loretta Lominack, Director of Alumni and Archivist, also Diane Parker, the Nun Run Chair. We're going to be talking about the Nun Run in just a few minutes. Sister Paula Cockerham, thank you so much for being here, all of you. This is going to be a real treat. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
This is quite a moment to be here, and you guys have been so gracious to let us in and sort of just sit in one of the most iconic places, one of the most pictured places here in Savannah, one that has quite the legacy that I know we're going to talk a little bit about. First, let me go back to the beginning. Someone take me back to the beginning where so many beautiful stories have come out of this place since 1845. Yeah. And if these walls could talk, right?
That's right. That's right.
So tell me about the beginning. Tell me about the sensational six, the six sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. That's really where it all began, right?
It certainly is. They came to the States in 1843, and that was 2 years before St. Vincent's was founded. They met a priest by the name of Jeremiah O'Neill by accident. And lo and behold, they wanted to do some good. And Jeremiah O'Neill said, I've got some good for y'all to do. I've got a place where kids are just roaming all over the streets. They're orphans. Their parents are dead. And we need an orphanage. And when you found that orphanage, we need a school. And so he invited them to come. And he said he would build a building for them. And he did. And he built this fabulous place that is now in the Library of Congress.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, to say the least, to say the least. Talk to me about the location we're recording in. This is known as the Parlor.
This is the Parlor. This is the Convent Parlor. And we are in the Convent Building, the original 1845 building. And we've had an addition since then. You know, people add on to their houses. Even sisters add on to their houses. So we...
You got to renovate every now and then, right?
Absolutely. You got to add on. You got to update things. Yes. So anyway, we have added on, and we now have a school for about 310 girls, and it's 179 years old, which is just amazing that we sit on the same spot that we've been on all this time. It's just wonderful.
Everything about it is so amazing, and the longevity. What you guys have been able to put into this community, give to this community. And, you know, when we were doing the tour, you were telling me it's always been about service.
And, it has always been about service.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's, I find, just well, so when encouraging.
You know, it's all the Sisters of Mercy. And they have always been there to serve, especially women and girls. But if you look at the monument outside with the sister standing on the corner, you know, they founded, first of all, let's say they founded the parochial school system, Catholic schools in Savannah, and they served, and they actually were the faculty in at least three of them. Then from that, that all grew all over the state of Georgia. So Catholic schools grew from all of this. They founded hospitals, again, grew all over the state of Georgia. They founded St. Joseph's Hospital. They founded another orphanage here, which actually took the place of this one, St. Mary's Home. They nursed people in the yellow fever epidemics. They nursed Civil War soldiers. They had a farm here too, would you believe?
Which
they did,
I think,
everything.
Is amazing. So that was here before the cathedral.
Yes.
Correct?
The cathedral was built on our farmland.
Well, excuse them
and
for building.
We let them have it.
Now, yes. I find that fascinating. I'm glad you brought that up, because your family has been involved in this. I mean, you have pictures. Was it your great-grandmother?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother.
My grandmother, who graduated from here in 1909, I think it was. Here.
Wow.
Yeah. Beautiful picture of her. She
That's
was
amazing.
Lovely. I didn't take after her.
Right. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Sister Paula, you actually lived here for a time. Talk a little bit about your role and what your history has been like being a part of this iconic place.
Well, I am not a native Savannian. I came from Baltimore as a new nun, in training, a postulant, and I was sent here. I believe I came sight unseen.
And we wouldn't have taken you.
I came sight unseen, and I drove from Baltimore in a red car with all of my belongings, and I arrived very late at night, and I thought I had gone to heaven.
Aww.
And I had been a research chemist before entering the Sisters of Mercy. So I retooled myself, wasn't hard, to become a science teacher. And I taught ninth grade physical science. And I enjoyed the ninth graders because they're, you know, they don't have after school jobs. They don't drive. They don't have boyfriends. They do their homework. They show up every day.
And they're fun.
And they're fun. Yeah. And science is fun. And whenever I'm now, I'm back in town for the past few years. If I'm in the grocery store and I see one of my ninth graders, I know their name. And they remember me. My memory isn't so good anymore, but my ninth graders, I know their name. And so living here was very fun. We had about, I think there were five sisters, myself included, living here. All but one worked at St. Vincent's. Another worked at a Catholic elementary school. And it was great.
It wasn't an elegant, posh place to live, was it?
No. Oh, we had enough bathrooms.
Nice. Yeah. that's important.
That is important. That's so important. Hey, quick side note. I don't know about you and your friend group, but our friends, well, and we are too, are always looking for a great brunch spot. And I've got the perfect thing for you. It's our wonderful partners, colleagues and lovers in Habersham Village. They are now serving lunch. And yes, my friends, brunch. On Saturday and Sunday, but check this out. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 to 3, you can go to Colleagues and Lovers in Habersham Village and get a fabulous lunch. Yes, you can also get cocktails, because that's how we roll in Savannah. They've got Bloody Mary on the menu, mimosa on the menu, and the other stuff, coffee, tea, iced tea, Coke, you know. But more importantly, the food. Let's talk about the salads. Balsamic beet salad, a chef salad, and fabulous looking sandwiches. Five spice chicken, roast beef. Ooh, a good chicken salad sandwich. Doesn't that sound nice? And of course, they've got pasta at Colleagues and Lovers. But check this out. Brunch on Saturday and Sunday. You can get pancakes, plain or blueberry. And I love Eggs Benedict. Take your friends, make a date. You're going to love it. Colleagues and Lovers, 4523 Habersham Street, Habersham Village. colleaguesandloverssavannah.com if you want to check out the lunch menu, the dinner menu, the brunch menu, and more importantly, the drink menu. Yeah. You're talking about some of the students. You have had some pretty iconic students here.
To roll
through St. Vincent's. I mean, you want to mention a few of those?
Well, we can go way back to the War Between States, Civil War, and lo and behold, Jefferson Davis and his wife, Verena, were arrested around Irvington, Georgia, and he was sent off to Monroe, Virginia, to prison. And for some reason, his wife was sent to Savannah. I never have figured that one out. But she was under house arrest on Johnson Square, and she had four children with her. And those children ranged in age from 12 years old to 2 years old. And they had the clothes on their backs. They had no money. They had no means of support. And the Sisters of Mercy decided that she needed some help. So they went to the hotel and offered her the only gold pieces they had, three gold pieces. I think it was all $15. Maybe it was more than that. Anyway, and she said no because she knew that we had an orphanage here and so on and so forth. And she said, y'all need the money. And so they still wanted to help. So finally they decided that Margaret, who was 12, and little Jeff could be educated at St. Vincent's. Little Jeff could walk here every day, recite his lessons for one of the sisters, and then Margaret would be registered at school as a student, and she would stay here. And she participated in the commencement exercise of 1865, and lo and behold, she didn't graduate, but she participated anyway. So that was a wonderful thing. Now, the great thing about it, some of the kids, when I tell them this story, some of the girls say, oh, they shouldn't have gone to support those people because they were all for slavery. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, not really. You know, look into the war, ladies, and see what it was all about. And yes, it was about that. It was also about other things, but that's not the point. The point is Sisters of Mercy, three words. What is the operative word out of those three? Mercy. And they all say mercy.
Mercy, yeah.
Am I merciful only to people who are white like I am, only to people who are Catholic like I am, only to people who live the type of life that I approve of? Only, no. What am I? You're merciful to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's just a wonderful story. That relationship continued over the years. In 1886, Jefferson Davis came back here, along with Margaret and his wife. They visited in this very parlor. They sat here where we're sitting today, and they chatted about the old times and about Margaret being registered as a student and all of these things. And it's just wonderful. I mean, it was a close relationship. But this was the first place they visited when they came to Savannah. He was here to make a speech, actually. And then, of course, we have, what's her name over there?
Flannery O'Connor.
Flannery O'Connor, yes. And her mother, my aunt, played with Flannery O'Connor, my aunt who lived in the next block across from me. And she said, Flannery O'Connor's mother would not allow her to be called Flannery. You had to call her Mary Flannery.
Oh.
Mary Flannery. anyway, Mary Flannery went to grade school at St. Vincent's. And she didn't make it to St. Vincent's on the high school level because they moved to Andalusia. Which is, you know, and of course she wrote lots of well-known books like A Good Man Is Hard to Find. Everybody remembers that title. Yeah. I love that. The Violent Bear It Away. That was probably my favorite. And what was that? Everything That Rises Must Converge and other things also. Just an amazing person. Good versus evil, and good always won. Of course, Mary Flannery thought of that.
Mary, wow.
Mary.
I am trying to imagine what a parent-teacher meeting with Jefferson Davis or...
Yeah, would have been like...
Oh, yeah.
I can't, like, but we're here in the room and I'm thinking about it. Like, yeah. I'm like, wow, that would have been an interesting meeting to sit in on.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would like to add, as a student, when my main name is Susevic, try to spell that one, and when I was here in the late 80s, we... were exposed to Flannery O'Connor. We spent an entire semester studying her works because she not only was an alum, but she was someone who stood for women and was expressive and was a writer. And that was something that set us all on fire to know that somebody who once walked these halls could do, we could do the same thing.
Right.
And I would like to add that Loretto's mother taught me Peg Dressel.
Oh, wow, that's right.
I was going to ask you if you
Yes, and she was hard. She scared me. I mean, she scared a lot of people. But she was hard on us because she knew that we needed that. She knew that we needed that structure. And it prepared me. Anybody who ever leaves St. Vincent's, we all flourish in the written word because that's still a legacy. Like when we go off to college or the workplace, that's a gift that I've never met a single St. Vincent's graduate who is not eloquent in some way.
Yeah.
They know how to express themselves, whether that means is through art, music, theater, athletics, or just everyday communication.
Yeah, I was looking at some of like the arms of the education piece here, yeah. and you can tell like it's mm-hmm. so important. I mean, you know, astronomy and right. you know, really into science and physics, and you know, diving into poetry and mm-hmm. literature from all kinds yeah. of places and all kinds of times. And it's not mm-hmm. just about, mm-hmm. You know, religious nature. Mm-hmm. It's really in all. And I think that
it's all encompassing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really, you can see that, mm-hmm. With the people and the students that come out. You know, I think it's fun too, Diane, that this has become such an anchor for Savannah, not only from the beginnings of education and mercy and service to all people, but now, I mean, like you mentioned, the athletics, and now people want to give back.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my story is when, you know, I have a lot of sisters of mercy in my family. So my mother's aunt was a sister of mercy. And so I grew up in a household where my chore was to dust everything. And because Sister Helen got a lot of statuettes that she would give us, because you can only have so many, I guess, in the convent space. So whenever we would knock one over, I was always told you had to like kiss it immediately and all that. And so that was my memory. And then my grandmother, who she worked as the switchboard operator, one of many at the original St. Joseph's Hospital.
Oh, wow.
So it was a full on slot. You know, it was nuns all the time. And so I came here because that was the expectation. I went through grade school here in Savannah Catholic School, and that was the expectation. You are going to St. Vincent's. There was no discussion. It just, that was it. And I'm multi-generational St. Vincent's alum, and one of the things that really kind of tells my story is that sophomore year, the money had run out because tuition, obviously in today's standards, is a little bit more. But back then, it was a struggle. I have two brothers who were going to Catholic school, and, you know, it only went so far. And so my mother announced, well, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And I said, no, I'm not. I love it here. And so I was of age 16. So I went and got an after school job and then paid for my last 2 years of St. Vincent's tuition. And it was backfilled by a generous donor who I later found out was my then boyfriend's mother, but she kept it a secret.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, we married down the road. So it's kind of just an interesting thing that she believed in me enough, even at that age. So,
well, it says a lot too about the school that you wanted to go so badly that
said, absolutely,
I'll work for
absolutely,
it and right. pay for it.
And then, you know, and I've given back in so many ways. I taught yoga here as a volunteer teacher for 5 years. I was the Grace Scholar coordinator to help bring scholarships here to young ladies who want to attend St. Vincent's but they can't. So, and it just easily just rolls over into volunteer activities for me. It's my way of giving back because somebody helped me. Mm. So that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And that comes from that mercy tradition. That is something that I experienced under the leadership of Sister Jude. She was my principal. when I was
She was here. My cousin.
And she was your cousin. So in Savannah, you know, the thing is, you don't know who you're talking to, whose relative you're talking to.
That's right.
You got to be careful.
Be very careful. You know, watch what you say. Say it with a smile, you know, that kind of thing. So, but they
or use
had,
a code or
right,
something.
Right. I think, but very long lasting, enduring legacy. And I know when Loretto was speaking earlier, something that came to mind is our school song. When you sing the alma mater, it is powerful. There's no way you don't get the little butterflies. Mm. And I was in the cathedral just yesterday for the Celtic Cross Mass. And, you know, I'm sitting there because I threw on my class ring. I always do that when there's like events or whatever. And I just thought for a second, I was like, wow, like I was here so long ago, just a girl in a skirt, you know, and now look at me now kind of thing.
And a lot of pride. I love that. I love that there's a lot of pride. Well, here we are just days away from St. Patrick's Day and one of the biggest events in this area. Certainly this year is a big one. It's the 200th. And what does St. Patrick's mean to you all and the holiday and all the hoopla that goes on here? what do you think of all that?
I remember when WTOC would plug up into our electrical system. And then we would, which I'm sure, again, they'll do this year, from the third floor. It's a very good view. You do have to stand up. At the windows. And
well, everybody out there is standing up too. So
that's true.
And they would use our electricity and have all the wires running up there. And so then we would sit with the kind of reserve seating under the TV platform.
It's kind of best seat in the house there. I like that.
It was. Yes.
Living in the next block, would you believe that the bands and the horses and everything used to line up along the median on Liberty Street? And in Colonial Cemetery on the dueling ground. And so I woke up to the bands playing and the horses neighing, and it was just so exciting. And I couldn't wait to get out. And my mother would say, "Now, this is the outfit you'll wear, and do not argue with me, because you will not go. First of all, you will not dress in white. It's too early for white." well, there you go. And you will dress appropriately, and you will dress as a proud Irish woman and be a very appropriate person. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you'll be.
You've got a reputation.
And we, yes.
Yeah.
And we always watched the parade in front of the cathedral. Always. It was just, then we went to my aunt's house across the street from my house. And we had Irish soda bread, which was not very good, actually.
Depends on who makes it. I know somebody
rest
who
in peace, the person
make
who
a nice
it.
Irish soda bread.
Anyway, it was just a wonderful day. You know, we got together with friends and family, and it was always that way. We had corned beef, which I understand the Irish don't really eat.
Oh, really?
No, they don't. Monsignor O'Neill always said,
"I think it was
the Irish don't eat corned beef."
I don't like it.
I love it.
Kind of like Jameson, I guess.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you got to have that.
It was hard to find this year. Right. It was very difficult to find. My husband had to go to four places before he could find corned beef.
Oh, wow.
For St. Patrick's Day. And I always have an Irish coffee. I did not have that when I was an appropriate young lady.
Right, yes. Of course. Yeah. Yes. Do you have any memories?
For me, my mother's side is double Irish. So my grandfather was a fireman. So, you know, because that's what they did. They were policemen or firemen. That's what the Irish did when they came here. And so we would watch it in front of Massey School down a ways.
That's a good place.
Yeah. The real good corner right there, right when they turn. And then my dad's side is, now it was Austrian, but now it's like Croatia, you know, because they keep changing borders.
Right.
What have you. But so the Susevich side is very Slavic. So, you know, my dad would always have jokes whenever my mother, you know, the Irish are known for being temperamental sometimes. And so whenever my mom would get elevated her voice, my dad would always have a little commentary about, well, that's the Irish blood in her, you know, because it was definitely not his people that would, because they're Croatian people, are very laid back and chill. So,
that's an interesting mix.
Yeah, I know. It's like fire and ice, so it worked. They were together for an awful long time, but, nowadays I'm on the inside because my husband's on the executive committee. So he's been one of the adjutants that wear the white jackets that put on the parade. They're down here at 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. They're working on it for months and months and months. And now being on the executive committee, he's been doing this for probably since the summer, planning it, and it's down to the wire now.
Mm.
So
yeah.
My garage floor is covered with every magnetic sign that's going to be on all 42 convertibles.
Oh, wow.
Plus all the flags.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my hope and dream is to regain our garage.
Yeah, so you're the storage central.
Yes,
storage
yeah. It kind of happens that way.
You'll get there.
I'll get there, but it's exciting. It's kind of like it builds up to this momentous thing like graduation was for us here at St. Vincent's. Like it builds up. You know it's going to happen, and then it's kind of like that. Oh, when it's over, you know.
St. Patrick's Day was more exciting than Christmas.
Yes,
I marched in the parade with my daddy.
Aww.
And every year, my sister-in-law posts that photograph on Facebook of me and my daddy and my brother marching in the parade. Then when I entered grade school, I marched with the grade school. Yeah. And then when I was a BC cheerleader, I was in a car with the cheerleaders. Mm. We were always in the parade until, actually, I drove the Sisters of Mercy in the parade one year.
Oh, wow.
Did you?
Yeah, on a trolley.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fun.
We just had a grand time. It's just always fun.
That's amazing. I love that.
It's amazing.
Sister Paula, what will the sisters be doing for St. Patrick's Day this year? Will they be watching it on the telly?
No.
Are they coming down?
We plan to come to the Mass at the cathedral, and then we plan to watch it right out beside the convent wall.
Ah, yes.
Beside the cathedral.
Exactly.
Perfect.
I mean, those of us are able.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's really wonderful because when you walk in the parade, like I'm at the very end because that's where the adjutants come up, and just sisters like Sister Susan taught me first grade, and she still remembers me, like how you were talking about your ninth graders. And that's pretty beautiful. And she's still actively teaching.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know what's really fun, when you go in the parade, it's a totally different view.
It is.
When you are in it, walking, riding on a float, doing whatever you're doing, it is so fabulous, and people are so appreciative,
and it's just
of you
fun.
Being there.
It's everybody,
not just me, really, it's just they appreciate everybody.
Everybody's happy for a day.
It is.
Yeah, and everybody's Irish.
Everybody comes out. You may have been hiding somewhere for 364 days, but you're there.
My daddy, who took us in the parade, was German, and he woke up every St. Patrick's morning singing "Peg of My Heart."
Aww.
That was my mother's name, Peg.
Oh,
and he sang that every St. Patrick's Day morning.
Aww.
As loud as he could and woke us all
irritating,
up.
Irritating,
yeah. Irritating,
yeah. It's sweet.
But it was wonderful. And he sang it in the parade, too. It was sweet.
Right. I think, you know, too, from a musical standpoint, many of the songs that, of course, you've heard is St. Patrick's Day in Savannah. And they'll reference all the old fort, Yamacraw. My dad, even though his tribe, as he would always call it, they are Croatian, Austrian, what have you, but they grew up on Troop Square right behind us. And he would tell so many stories about how it was just dirt. Like all the squares that are pretty now were just playgrounds.
Right.
They had the live oak trees in them and
live
oaks dirt.
And dirt. And he told stories about kicking footballs on the third floor windows and
not
it would land in a pot.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. But I didn't have to march. Like I think by the time I got around, they were like, the kids aren't marching anymore.
And we loved it. We just loved it.
So I had a day off.
Yeah.
Sort of kind of thing.
Well, you were talking, Sister Paula, about your time here, and you were mentioning where you're going to watch the parade from and all of that. The nuns no longer live here.
None of us live here. It's been, I would say, about 7 years since Sister Hale Marie and Sister Jogues moved out.
That's about right, yeah.
And they were the last two. And you see, this place is a block long. And so from the living room to the kitchen, should you want ice cream after supper while you're watching the Braves game, it's a little long walk.
Yeah. The ice cream might melt.
And that was my job when I was here. I would go and get the ice cream.
You were the runner. Oh, yes. Okay.
I was the runner. The runner. I was the runner, the ice cream runner.
Somebody
runner.
Has to do it.
Yeah. I was the runner. Yeah.
Speaking of service, I love that.
There you go. Service. Absolutely.
With a smile.
Loretto, you took us upstairs to take a peek into where the nuns would stay. And we got to see all of the habits and how that the fashion has changed years.
Yes.
And I wonder if you can describe it a little bit for our listeners and also explain to us how you never stepped into that, even though that was something you kind of maybe wanted to do.
I went to a college where they produced the sisters. Where they rolled them out.
Like a factory?
Like a factory.
It was a nun factory.
Take me to a nunnery.
They almost got me.
Shakespeare.
They almost got me. But anyway, upstairs, yes. We turned the convent, we renovated the convent, and it has become offices and classrooms. And it's, but one thing I begged for before they restored is please give me one room, because the Sisters of Mercy need to be honored with something very special. And it needs to be a room that is exactly the way it was when they lived here. Nothing, a sink, a chair, a single bed, a side table, a crucifix on the wall. There you go. That was it. Now.
But up there now, there is a water bowl and a pitcher, assuming that there was no running water. There's
yes.
a water bowl and a pitcher up there.
Well, I think that's paying homage to the earliest
yes.
nuns.
Well, now we'll go back to the habits.
Yeah. Right?
If anybody listening ever saw, what was the name of that show? It's all about being on the prairie and
A Little House on the
Little
Prairie.
House on the Prairie.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I watched it every day
if
after
you ever saw Little
so
House
good.
On the Prairie,
yeah.
That was what the nuns yeah. looked like when they came here. They looked like they were in that costume with the bonnet mm-hmm. and the shawl around the shoulders and long
the apron
dress.
Apron kind of thing.
Apron, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, that was the first mm-hmm. habit. And then the second habit came around 1890, I believe it was. And that was the habit that taught me when I was in school. Mm-hmm. And that was what they called the coif and gamp and the veil and all of this and the rosary beads hanging on the belt. Mm-hmm. They were wonderful, because if your teacher left the room and she came back and you were supposed to be being good and not talking, you could hear those rosary beads rattling.
Yes. Yes.
Hear them
yes.
rattling. Here she comes, y'all.
I love a good warning.
I know. Me too. Me too. And then they really went into modern mode. Mm-hmm. And in 1966, there was what they call the modified habit. And that meant that they showed their ankles and a little bit more leg.
Risque.
Risque.
Yes.
Very risque. And a veil.
A navy
and,
blue, right?
And
was it
yeah,
navy blue?
Navy blue. And yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So those were the habits. And now there are no habits.
They're incognito.
They're incognito. They wear a pin.
Or a medallion.
Where's your pen?
She's got a medallion on.
Good. All right. You're good.
So no more habit at all.
No more habit at all. And I have never worn a habit. You know, some people
you
ask me.
You never did, huh?
No, people ask me if I wore a habit and why don't you wear a habit for the nun run, or why don't you wear a habit for Halloween? I don't have a habit. But they were sacred. They weren't Halloween costumes.
No.
Right.
No. Uh-uh.
We don't believe what we look like and what we wear defines who we are and
yeah.
what we
oh,
do.
Beautiful.
That's historically, women weren't allowed to roam the streets alone or even just with other women.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is the widow's garb.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be expected or acceptable that a widow, well, she's going to walk around without a husband. So it really originally, in many areas, it was the widow's garb. Hmm. And that is why they could walk around on the streets, women alone. And they would go to homes to visit the sick
mm-hmm.
As sisters. Lay women didn't do that. Well,
well, Sisters of Mercy were known as the Walking Nuns. Aren't
they were known as the Walking Nuns in Ireland.
In Ireland, yeah.
Because they would travel to visit the sick, not just in the hospitals, but in their own homes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have read, and I just love this, that, and I really believe it, that Catherine McCauley, the foundress of the Sisters of Mercy, she liked to visit the hovels of the poor because she admired their spirituality. And she went for spiritual companionship with them, from them.
Interesting.
As much as to visit them.
She admired them.
Yes, that's it.
She did.
Loretta, she admired them. So a lot of Sisters of Mercy were nurses, as you have already indicated.
I know, yeah.
Now, some of my students are nurses. And once when I went to, I was in the hospital for surgery at St. Joe's, I think, or Candler. And as they wheeled me in there, I had already met the doctor, but then they wheeled me in there and they're getting ready to put that thing on my mouth to make me shut up and sleep. Mm-hmm. And one of the technicians, you know, she's got goggles on and her hair covered and a mask on. I can't see her face. And she said, you are my ninth grade teacher.
Wow.
Now, how can that happen?
Wow.
It's pretty powerful.
That's great.
Yeah. Wow. And did you say... Was I good to you?
Was I good to you? Yes. Because this is a very delicate time.
She said, I sometimes use some of your examples to try to, you know, help my daughter with her homework.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
And I've had other students say they're teachers, high school or grade school. I have some other students who are teachers. Mm-hmm.
It must be really meaningful to see the impact you have made.
Yes, they became teachers. Yeah, I don't think any of them are science teachers, and I haven't heard of any who are scientists. Mm. Yeah, but they're the nurses, lawyers.
They do good things.
They really do the works of mercy without any habit.
That's exactly right. Yeah. They learn them well. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And that the mission speaks louder. Yeah.
It does. And, you know, here at St. Vincent's, service is a huge, huge element of this place. And handed down from the Sisters of Mercy, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is a big thing, big deal.
Mm-hmm. As we sit in the parlor, we are just across from the chapel area, which is still in use and every day, right?
Certainly is in use, constantly.
Yeah.
Just every floor here within the school is dedicated to subject matter. And this particular floor is dedicated to theology or religion. And so they use, these classes use the chapel a great deal. Well, first of all, we say the rosary here. We have parents come in for the rosary, our families, members of the family, and the girls join them. And we have, let's say somebody in the family dies. I can remember a very, very moving service in the chapel where the homeroom wanted to do a service for a girl's family member who died. And they did all the readings. They planned everything from beginning to end. And they had this service. And it was just very moving and very lovely. So things like that go on there. The classes actually will come in and have lessons in there also. And then we have our music troubadour, music director, who's wonderful, and goes in and plays with the girls, and just they sing and sing and sing. It's just, it's a wonderful place, and it's a lovely place to go when nobody's in there, and you can go and reflect, and you can pray, and you can. It's great. It's great to be able to be in a place where you can pray.
Mm.
Where it's acceptable. Not only is it acceptable, it's encouraged. Not only that, we do it. We pray before every class, before lunch, before everything we do.
I remember I grew up going to a private school, and my mom was a teacher, and then I remember after, I don't know, it was maybe sixth, seventh grade when I decided, you know, I want to try out not private school. I want to figure out what the other schools look like. Mm-hmm. And I remember my very first couple of days. And it was so many kids. I was very overwhelmed, didn't have the same feeling. And I remembered as we started to take a quiz or a test or something, there was no prayer. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, this is weird. I was so used to, I was just so used to that moment of reflection you know, I continue to have as a part of my life, you know, to this day. And I thought it was very special. And you don't know that until you're, I think.
It's taken away.
Yeah.
Just even having that moment of silence matters. It, wherever your mind goes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's how it starts you off. But, you know, I was giggling because I remember the first thing we always did on our paper was write JMJ at the top. Because if you couldn't remember the content on the test, maybe Jesus maybe Mary, Joseph, or
might help you.
Joseph could help you.
They like, might do it.
And it was like, you know, if you can do one of the three, then maybe could help you out. So doesn't always guarantee 100.
That's a good code to write at the top. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my students... well, I guess they didn't learn it here. I guess they learned it at the grade school. Whenever you would hear an ambulance siren, they would all.
I learned that from my mom.
They would make the sign of the cross.
Yes,
always. Walking past the church, make the sign of the cross. Right?
And when a funeral comes by and you're in a car, you pull over. That is mandatory.
No, half of my classroom is making the sign of the cross. Yeah. Science class. And I, when I'd have prayer, I'd always ask them if there was anything they wanted to pray for.
Right.
And usually they would say special intention.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're secret, you know, they wanted to pray for a special intention. I thought that was just very, very, very touching.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And we used to have liturgies and mass in the in Our Lady's Chapel below the cathedral.
Right.
And before that was very recently renovated. Our Lady's Chapel is not there.
Right.
So I would think they use this chapel here more and more and more
We use it a great deal. Of course, we go up to the upper cathedral.
And this
also.
Chapel here is what we're trying to raise money for, things between the ceiling and the roof, things between the upper floor and the lower floor is not nice.
No, that I think there was, during renovation, something bad happened there in that area.
I think you're dealing too with 1845 structure, 1855 structure, you know, and then adding on. And then it's kind of like you take the bow off the present and then it's loose.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can't ever put the present, you can't put the paper back on the way it was. And, you know, it seems really different. And it's like, surprise.
They're always saying
anybody
that
who's
find,
ever, and I know you
never
live
expect
in a historic building.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have a litany of stories of how that surprise.
1852.
So, yes.
Yeah.
That's
pretty old. I mean, this building has been here for a long time. You got to think, you've got to, up with. And
just because you see paint, you don't know what's behind that paint.
Yes. Exactly. There's always something going on underneath. Loretta, when you took us through the chapel, and I'm not sure you'll be able to give us any details on this, but you said something about possibly secret staircases around here.
Oh yes, I can't give you.
I know. I have
a secret.
I thought I would try to knock that door.
No, you can't.
Just for a moment.
You cannot do that. No. But my lips are sealed.
You have to imagine, though, in most of these buildings, you know, around here that have been here for a long time, there is a secret something. You know,
there's always
a
secret something.
I didn't know they were secret. I know where they are.
You do?
Well, you can't tell.
Maybe you can take me after we.
Be quiet, sister.
Take a vow of silence on that one.
Of all people, the sister's going to show me the secret.
Yes, that's right.
I love it. Okay.
Well, there's one on the third floor also, you know.
Oh, I was afraid to go up there because I was afraid it would fall in.
Well, yeah, nobody goes up there. Yes.
Spiral staircases. I never went up to the attic, but when they were doing some repairs, several of us, myself, in particular, sometimes I would come home and open my closet and I would find a lot of plaster on the floor and I could see up into the attic.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'd never go up into the attic.
Not willingly.
Well, I think we peeked up there.
We peeked and we...
And your periscope would do it.
What's fascinating is that this place, it shows a little bit of a history of the place because children... and workmen and whoever over the years from 1845 on wrote their names or carved their names and dates and whatever. And it's just a fascinating little history. And you've got things like people who came to do electrical work and people who came to do roofing and then children also, yes. who are orphans and students, and it's just fascinating. But yes. nobody goes up there because it really is very rickety and not real safe, not yes. safe at all.
I'm sure. It look, yeah, it, I only wanted to peek.
And yeah, I know.
I was
you don't want to go there.
We do want to tell everybody about the Nun Run. We've talked about it a couple of times. This is one of those opportunities where the community can really give back.
Absolutely.
And be of service.
Right. You know, have fun.
Yeah. This is gonna it sounds like it's an amazing event. We have never been, so I'm very excited to come and be a part of it.
You better be
this time.
Right,
so let's tell everybody when it is.
Okay, so the Nun Run is a 5K. It's happening Saturday, March 23rd, which is the Saturday after we celebrate St. Patrick's Day this year. Mm-hmm. So it starts at 8 a.m. at Daffin. You don't have to be a runner. We let the runners go first because they're all on their, I'm going to be done in 15 to 17 minutes. So we let them go. And then you can walk, you can stroller, you can wagon your children, whoever you want to bring along. It's one time inside Daffin and then one time around the perimeter on the outside. And then poof, you're done. So you can easily poof, you're done. Poof like that. We have to close the course by 10:30. So you might want to, you know, stroll a little bit quicker. But most people finished by 9 o'clock last year easily. We'll have rankings in each category, age group. It's really cool to see those people honored. We also have some giveaways this year. We're encouraging people to be creative in their dress because last year we had folks, because it was our first year and we were just kind of feeling it out. We had folks that dressed up. Like I think it was, there was a group of dental hygienists that came as a group of sisters and their outfits coordinated.
They were priceless.
I was mesmerized by their outfits. And so post-race, I asked him, talk me through your outfits. And these weren't just like, oh, let's buy them on Amazon. But actually, she said that was their plan, easy button. But then it didn't come. So the night before, they were like at Michael's or somewhere, Walmart or wherever it was. And they literally just bought T-shirts and then cut out the collar part and then black material. And then they found these illuminated crosses, which are house decor, and they wore them and they lit
up. They were big.
I'm talking like
they were large and in charge.
Yes, they were very big crosses. Like they were the size of that Kleenex box right there. So, and you had guys dressing up as friars or priests or whatever.
I know. Second place last year was a male nun.
A male nun.
That's right.
So
you know what?
This is not just about
this
women.
Guy came under the finish line.
Right.
And he just looked great as a nun. I didn't know it was he. He was, this person was Hall, and he was, and he, it, whoever it was, was very attractive. And when
all of a sudden,
he starts taking off the stuff, and there's this handsome guy standing there.
I know.
In nun's garb.
Yes.
Took off the headpiece.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Well, I have a funny story about that morning last year when we had our first run. So I was sitting next to Sister Helen Marie Buttermer and then Sister Paula here. And they were all nestled into their chairs while the rest of us, you know, were doing our busy work right before we started the race. And I said, oh, look, everybody, there's a sister that's joining us. And I really believed it was a guest sister, you know, and I thought maybe they knew her. And she had on the full black, you know, dark garb. You saw angles.
The modified habit.
Modified habit. Yes. The modified habit.
The risque version.
And, yes.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I think it was you, Sister Paula, said, that's no special nun. That's Loretto.
So people are going to think she is the real nun.
Yes.
That's not,
I mean, it was hilarious.
That's not a homemade habit.
No, it was authentic. She borrowed it off the wall. It was that.
So you finally got to put it on.
Yes. Finally got it. Yeah.
I love it.
But she looks so authentic.
I bet.
Fooled me 100%.
Yeah.
And I fooled a lot of people because people came
face.
Up and said,
yes.
Sister, would you mind having your photograph taken with
That's
us.
That's right.
And I would say, oh, how lovely.
Yes.
Thank you so much for asking me.
Yes.
And then they, you know.
You were a superstar.
That's right.
And I would say, thank you for being here. And God bless you.
And they just thought they got anointed. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take it from anywhere I can get it. It's right. fine with me.
Well, you know, telling you, too, Dee, the story of how the Nun Run came into being, I think it would be best to hear from Loretto because this was her dream. So, Loretto, you want to share how this came into being?
Yeah, it really was. I thought it would be a wonderful thing to do. And mentioned it to a few people. And one person who was on the faculty this year said, "You're not doing that." And I said, "No? Why not?" "Well, that you don't even want to hear why not." So anyway, we didn't do it. And I really, really, really wanted to do it. And lo and behold, we ended up doing a tour of homes instead, which was lovely and great. And it was just wonderful. And we did that for 16 years. And then all of a sudden, things changed here somewhat. And we ended up doing it. And it was just my dream come true. Aww. It truly was.
I love that.
Yeah, we had hoped that it would launch before Sister Jude passed because we really wanted her to be here. And she was the principal for many, many years.
Sister Jude was principal for almost 30 years.
Oh, right. Wow. So she had three generations of young ladies
under her
control.
She was a brave woman.
But unfortunately, Sister Jude went on to the next level. And so, but we had planned our inaugural run. It took 4 years for it to hit the streets because we were ready to roll 2019. Then came, you know what,
that's
2020.
Right. Right.
And then 20, you know, Endurance Race Services, Dan Pavlin, he stuck with us. There was a lot of conversation about, well, the city of Savannah's not allowing races. Go to the county, and we kept coming back to the purpose. We had dreams of starting and finishing right outside the cathedral, right outside this building at the Macaulay statue. That was our dream. But then, you know, it was getting so cost effective to even do that. It was how much of our money do we want to pay for police protection and barricades? Yeah. And so we started reevaluating, and then someone came up with the idea of Daffin Park. We're like, okay, we can do that. So the runners and walkers they don't have to really cross traffic. They're protected once they get in the park. So it's easy. And it was just something that it was beautiful to see it finally launch last year.
Right.
You know, because we had people that fell off, you know, that were on committees.
That's right. That's
They just disappeared.
They were not believers.
Right. They weren't believers.
Not real believers.
I'm going to tell you right now, sitting here across from you and across from Loretta and Sister Paula, I did this because of the Sisters of Mercy. I hung in there as the chair and because of Loretta, because I wanted to see this happen.
We all did it.
For all of her. And we have an extraordinary committee that it's a variety of people who actually run. I tried that before. It's not my thing.
And let me say this. Looking into the future.
Right.
Our plan is for this to become a full marathon. Mm.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
As it should.
We're going to do that.
As it should.
It really should. You know, I think about it. And
we have a route already planned. It's just.
Right.
And you should. You know, I think about it.
Go big or go home.
Like zoom out from it, right? And you think about really just paying tribute and honor and helping every bit of this history continue to be what it has been and even more. And as a community, you know, knowing that so much has come from this and knowing that the Sisters of Mercy have given so much to help this all be what it is.
Absolutely.
You know, why not give back to that and be a part of it?
So the legacy has to live on.
Absolutely.
It does.
Absolutely.
Because we're all here for a short while.
That's right.
Until we get our punch card.
That's right. Until we go to the next level.
I think, too, the TN tour, we added garden to the end. The tour was very exhaustive effort. The girls got involved. They wore their uniforms. They served tea. You know, we had a lot of tourists that came to that. They ate it up. They loved it.
We still have people calling every
year. It's still Savannah-esque.
To see if it's going to be.
And we were honored to present that. But it just, Loretta was having a challenge getting in people's homes, especially after 2020.
Oh, no doubt.
And so we started thinking, well, we need something that's open to families, that everybody can come and not just, you know, mothers and daughters and what have you. Like, we want to see everybody. So one of the things we've put out there is that all are welcome. It doesn't matter if you are affiliated with St. Vincent's or not, if you're, you know, of the Catholic faith or not. We just want you there. We want everybody to have fun. And it really is a joyous time. Just people watching is going to be fun this year, because everybody always says, oh, I want to do that. And so, and we have wonderful sponsors that are behind us that have stuck on to year two. So we see this as, like we said, a longevity event.
Yes,
this is the absolutely beginning stages, and you know, the inaugural is now we can say annual.
That's right. So, that's right. And it's going to get bigger, I'm sure, as you go.
It is.
And
it
so,
is.
Yeah, it's going to be Saturday, March 23rd and 8 a.m. And folks can, how can they best get involved?
Well, if they want to register, they just go to savannahraces.com. Since we're 2 weeks out, roughly, from the race, all they do is they'll see the nun, click on the nun there. And then they put in their personal information, pick their shirt size. Every participant gets a t-shirt. The one I'm wearing right now is the Sisters of Mercy blue. This was the inaugural shirt, but we're going white this year.
Oh, fun.
Because we stick with like the St. Vincent's colors, blue, gold,
right,
know, gray, white. These
right
are upcoming colors that you'll see. Our volunteers are in bright gold, so you can find them if you need something. And everybody gets a medallion. And so we've switched it up this year, the medallion. It's got a little bit of different flair. And of course, it always has a year. And we have many people that come from near and far. I get to see the registration every night with the run sign up update. And it's so amazing and thrilling to see people from out west, northeast.
Oh,
and
yeah,
a lot of people are also treating this 5K as a run up to the Publix Marathon, which is coming right after us at the beginning of April. So, you know, it's good to get your run on. And have a good time.
Yes. I love to cheer the runners on.
Yes,
I am not a runner. I am a walker.
Yes. Life's too short.
I mean, I will cheer you on all day.
Exactly.
Though. All day.
All day.
That is the way to do it. Ladies, thank you so much for letting
certainly
us come in.
Thank you for coming.
Share a piece of this history and be a part of it. I know the Nun Run is going to be phenomenal. And and really, you know, again, it's so meaningful for the community to be able to be a part of what you're doing. No matter if they have involvement in the school or the Catholic faith, like you said,
doesn't matter.
All
welcome.
Yeah. And
goes back to the Sisters of Mercy, 100%. They do not discriminate according to who gets that mercy or not. And,
exactly,
you know, it's something like it's mercy healing every wound. That's part of what we sing.
Yeah.
When you're in these buildings.
Yeah.
So,
no doubt.
And then, and the gals who graduate from here, you were alluding to that when you wanted to give a try to another kind of school. And I went to another kind of school because of the price, and I did 1,000 kids, quite a shock, very difficult. But here there's a sisterhood among the students from the very beginning, and I believe the principal here, if she notices that one of the students isn't happy here, she said, we need to talk, and I need to know why. Because it's not okay if you're not happy. But they have a sisterhood that continues forever.
Right.
You go into
a
funeral home when someone's father dies. Right. All of her classmates are queuing up in a line.
And many of us have social media groups of just our class year.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so we pump each other up. My class of 87, we have some admins on our page, fellow alums that are shouting at every single birthday. Every single birthday. That's pretty cool, especially when your time comes around.
Oh, no doubt.
So it makes you feel appreciated and wanted, but you can call on anybody.
Yes,
and
you can.
And that's the beautiful thing. And everybody comes back to see the sisters. Everybody comes back to see their favorite teachers. And, you know, as Sister Paula mentioned, there aren't many sisters left that are here of the Sisters of Mercy. And, you know, my hope going forward is that St. Vincent's can get some of these new sisters, the ones that are in their 20s, they're in their 30s, so they can be those ones that are here for several decades. And we do have several graduates that did go through the orders. So maybe
that's awesome.
Maybe.
Following the footsteps.
Yeah.
Following in the footsteps.
Well, we want to see the legacy continue, like you
said.
And be, you know, for the community to be a part of that. That's just amazing. So I cannot thank you all enough
for
letting us come in. And Sister Paula, you and I have a secret staircase to go find.
Yes.
Don't you even think about taking her there.
She may disappear.
I no longer have the keys to the convent.
We won't tell her. Thank you, ladies, very much.
Thank you for coming.
Appreciate you.
This season, we're so proud to partner up with a trendsetter and a trend breaker in Savannah's historic district, the incomparable bar and restaurant that hits all the marks and sits right at 102 East Liberty Street. I'm talking about Savoy Society. You know, we fell in love with this downtown hotspot well before we even moved here, and it's captured our hearts even more as locals. Now, it's my favorite spot to grab a lemon drop martini. Hands down, best place to get a lemon drop martini. And I even like to try something new on occasion, like a sourdough flatbread, a slider, maybe even a new cocktail if I'm living dangerously. But don't even get me started on Me Gusta Mondays and the hot honey margarita, because once I tried that, Savoy Society, seriously, you had me at vinyl and wicker. The long bar, the cozy sofas, oh, and the pickled deviled eggs, and the mini hot dogs with the tots. It's a whole vibe. If you Google it, you'll see the popular opinion is the bartenders are just lovely. That's an understatement. They're really genuinely amazing. Stop by Savoy and tell them you heard about them on the Made of Savannah podcast. Savoy Society Sav, S-A-V, if you're looking for them on Instagram. Also, SavoySociety.com. Check out the full menu. Who's looking for a fun night out? I'm always raising my hand for that. It's about that time of year when we'll have some family coming into town, and of course, you want to entertain them with something new and totally fun. Well, we have just the thing. Savannah's best live music and theater experience, it's Savannah Cabaret. And you're in luck. Tickets are now on sale for the production of Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein at SavannahCabaret.com. Tickets are on sale, SavannahCabaret.com. This production is going to be everything, but you need to reserve your tickets because they will sell fast. I promise you that. The show runs April 18th through May 5th. Go ahead and get your tickets now before they sell out. Based on the classic 1974 movie, it's the hilarious show that tells the story of Dr. Frankenstein's grandson, Frederick, who is struggling to create his own legacy separate from his family's name. It's going to be a monstrous good time on Jefferson Street in historic Savannah. A fabulous cast and a laugh out loud great time, but only if you have tickets. SavannahCabaret.com. And later this year, we've got time traveling drag queens in the 1960s, maybe a little case of the cabaret killer. Doesn't that sound fun? Go get your tickets at SavannahCabaret.com. That's SavannahCabaret.com. Thanks for listening to the Made of Savannah podcast. Do us a favor, write us a review, give us a rating. Make sure you subscribe or follow the podcast and share this podcast with someone you know. Follow us on Instagram at Made of Savannah. And a huge thanks to our sponsors, Savoy Society, Colleagues and Lovers, and the fabulous Savannah Cabaret. If you or someone you know has a great Savannah story to tell, be sure to get in touch with us. We would love to hear it. The welcome mat is always out.